Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is taken from the first lesson, Revelation chapter 6. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. It's a pretty violent ending for John the Baptist. Mark records the entire bloody episode. St. Matthew has his account, but it's a little briefer, and Luke and John are silent about this event. Earlier Lutheran hymnals did not include mention of John's death in the list of special occasions in the church year, and it's only with the Lutheran service book that we have this day mentioned. For Mark's readers, John the Baptist was the messenger who will prepare the way, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight. Mark also describes John. First, he describes how he prepared the people for the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Then as the forerunner, John the Baptist pointed to Jesus, the one sent by God. He spoke these words, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." From this point on, Mark is silent regarding John the Baptist until the account today, the account of his beheading. John was truly the one preparing the way for the Messiah. He proclaimed the word of God, and he was a witness to Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But John prepared the way for the Messiah in his death as well. Though the beheading of John the Baptist and the crucifixion of Jesus were far different, they were both violent, bloody affairs. John's violent death was, in a way, preparing Jesus for his own death on the cross. So John leads the way in more than the assumed ways. He pointed to the death of Jesus on the cross, that death on the cross would include all the suffering that Jesus underwent, rejection, humiliation. And in his death, John the Baptist fits the picture that we have in the text today from the book of Revelation. Those opening words, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne." John fits into this group. Now, the book of Revelation, where this comes from, in the verses prior to this, we have the description of the four horsemen, who brought devastation, destruction, and death to mankind. This mayhem that these four horsemen unleashed is actually very typical of mankind throughout time. For we find tyranny, famine, warfare, violence, murder, and death itself rather prevalent. This really describes the world as we see it today. Nothing should surprise us. This is the reality, thanks to sin and the power of the devil, which is behind all of this mankind's inhumanity toward each other, and all the unnatural ways of destruction that we find today. Storms, diseases, floods, drought, earthquakes, fires, and the list goes on. All this shows us that we live in a fallen world. But then we come to the verses 9 through 11, our first reading. They describe something else. In this vision, John sees all those who have been martyred, not due to the horsemen's unleashing of destruction, but because of the word of God and their witness. They had been slain, not because of the horsemen's unleashing destruction, but because they confessed the word of God. These martyrs refused to reject the word of God and Christ's testimony. And again, we look back to John the Baptist as one such person. John had refused to reject the word of God regarding Herod and his sin. Herod refused to repent regarding his marrying of Herodias, his brother's wife. Now, John could have relented. He could have softened God's word and told King Herod that, well, your behavior is not good, but we'll let it pass. If John took that route, he probably would have lived. That's the same for all the countless martyrs throughout the ages. They could have recanted. They could have relented their confession of faith to the word of God. And they would have saved themselves from possible torture and death. But John didn't, and those martyrs didn't either. They remained in faith, confessing the word of God and Jesus Christ the Savior. Now, this group of martyrs that the Apostle John describes in his vision in Revelation 6 is a greater number than we can imagine. You see, all Christians are martyrs in the sense that all Christians give witness by their faith, with their mouths, with their very lives, to the victorious Lamb who became the sacrifice for all, shedding his blood in the violence of the crucifixion. Those martyrs followed the Lamb who has been slain and who has been raised again. And here it becomes kind of personal, because when we say all Christians are martyrs, that would include you as well. You are slated to die a martyr for your witness, for your holding to the Word of God, for your confession of faith. Now, this doesn't mean that you will die a bloody, violent death at the hands of an executioner. For in your baptism, you were joined to Christ. And note the violent kind of language we find in the book of Revelation, or in the book of Romans, that Paul used to describe baptism. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. Did you realize that baptism was such a bloody, violent event? In your baptism, you have followed the Lamb who was slain. His death becomes your death to the old Adam, the old sinful self. And in your baptism, you have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. You have been clothed with those white robes of righteousness. In your baptism, you have been prepared for living life as a martyr, being faithful to the Word of God and making the good confession. This faith has been implanted in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. As you hear God's word and as you receive his forgiveness, you are prepared to live and to die as a martyr. As you eat the true body and drink the true blood of Christ given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, you are giving witness to the Lamb who was slain. You are proclaiming his death. And again, that precious meal prepares you for life as a martyr. But you do not suffer alone as a martyr. You are in good company. Look around. You see saints all around you. And in a few moments, when we hear the words of the proper preface in the sacrament of Holy Communion, listen carefully to those words with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. You are part of the church. And when we talk about the church that has eternal dimensions, for you are part of the church above and the church on earth. The church includes all those who have gone before us in faith and those who have yet to go before us. You are part of all those saints in heaven and on earth. We hear those words from John again. They cried out with a loud voice, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little while longer until the number of their fellow saints, servants, and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves have been. We hear the voices of those already martyred, and they're speaking of those martyrs who have yet to be slain. And today that would include each one of us. The saints above and the saints yet on earth make up the Holy Church. Now, those of us who still remain on this earth endure suffering. We think of all the suffering that those four horsemen dish out. But that destruction is dished out unto the whole world. And we partake of that suffering. But yet, there is additional suffering that we, as those saints yet to be martyred, endure. And that is the suffering that we endure because we follow the Lamb who has been slain. And so, as Christ suffers, the church on earth suffers as well. Persecution, shame, and death. You are martyrs, yet to be slain, yet to die in the faith. Your suffering on this earth includes all that the four horsemen can dish out and more. For you will suffer for your faith until that day when he takes you from this vale of tears. Then you will enter into that heavenly rest. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. A Sabbath rest. And remember God's invitation for you. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There is our rest in the hands of the Lamb who was slain and has been raised again. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.